Your Bibles this morning and come to Isaiah chapter 34. I would like to continue this morning with the theme that we have been pursuing for several weeks, that of the primacy or the centrality of the Word of God as it has place or ought to have place in your life and mine. And I will say that personally, that my only hope for any kind of a day that's meaningful comes always back to the Word. It begins there. My only hope as a pastor for our church is that the people of the church would be like-minded when it comes to the Word. And that apart from the beginning of every day, and I would emphasize this first point on every day, short of the ingestion of the Word of God, I certainly have nothing but thin ice to skate on, and the same for you. So I would encourage you to think with me as we look at a body of scriptures relative to each point, and then make the point. I'm under the assumption that many people struggle with maintaining serious and meaningful Bible study personally because they lose direction and it becomes more of a random exercise. And while that's not a bad thing all the time, it certainly rises or falls on the emotions of a person. And so I want to give you this morning some things that were taught to me many years ago, rehashed and hashed over again by different pastors and teachers. But the one that sticks in my heart and mind are the words of Dr. James Boyce, now residing in heaven. He gave some very, very clear instructions on enhancing the Word of God for the child of God on a day-by-day basis. I want to leave some of those thoughts with you today in the hopes that it will provide direction that will encourage a sustained and relentless pursuit of the riches of the Word of God for you personally. So in Isaiah chapter number 34, I look at the 16th verse. And as you look at these verses, if you're taking notes, just jot the references down and I will hold the point of instruction at the end so that you can copy off. Isaiah 34:16 says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." Read. Now, this is a visual generation. It is a graphic-oriented generation. Reading has fallen out of favor in large portion. It's not something that many people simply naturally gravitate to. To sit and watch is the simplest of all, and I might add the most mindless of all, exercises as a rule. And so here we have, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them." But the portion of the verse, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." And the following reference there in that verse has to do with the assurance of the Lord that whatever He speaks to, whether it's a promise, whether positive or negative, that it will not fail. So, seek out the book. May it be your habit of life for the rest of your life. And read. You must discipline yourself to read. And I want to give you some ideas about how that might best be accomplished. There is also in Isaiah 35, the rationale for seeking out the book and reading. In verses 8 and 9, this is a great chapter in the book of Isaiah. Verse 8 says, a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. So the rationale for the reading is that you might and I might tread the highway of holiness. And understand here, by way of application, this is not interpretation, but application of the truth, that whenever you seek the book and read it, there is a sense in which the lion, the devouring lion, cannot lay a trap. You are less inclined or less likely to be ensnared in a trap if you are in the way of holiness. So seek the book, read, and then walk in the way, the highway of holiness. Now, how can this best be done? Go to the New Testament, to the book of Acts. Can I ask you, before we look at anything here in Acts, can you give me just one, perhaps your most important thing, most important to you, that you do daily? Just one thing out of each of your lives. One thing that you do daily. You believe it to be important, and maybe it's something that's ingrained in you, has been for years. What is it? You pray daily. Okay? What else? You brush your teeth. That's an important thing. Daily. Probably you don't get there's probably not a universal consent on that with everybody, but that's a good thing. Bathe daily. Okay? Okay? You eat daily. What else? Daily. Husbands, wives, what do you do daily? Kiss. Did I hear kiss back here? You do. Come on, Chris. You're not stretching it. Kiss, okay. That's a daily thing. Daily thing. Is a getting up kiss better than a going to bed kiss? Same. Okay. What else do you do daily? Daily. Every day you do that. Wow. That's a good thing. What else? What else? Daily. You drive someplace daily. Yes, you got to go somewhere. Is anything that so far you've mentioned and anything that's been unsaid that you can call to mind that you habitually, routinely do daily that would significantly alter the way of your life if you skipped that on one day? Well, that would be that would significantly change your life. Yes. Absolutely. And everybody else is around you. Okay, that's one idea. Anything else that would significantly alter your life if you didn't do what you normally do daily? Can you think of anything that falls into that category? Somebody said eat. Would your life change any at all if you didn't eat? You forgot to do it on one day. You just forgot to eat. Okay, you forgot to go to work. Would that change your life? You just forgot. You go to work every day. You have to drive somewhere. You get there. So you forget to do it on one day. What else? Okay, if you don't talk, forget to talk. Now, let me ask you, what's the likely, on a scale of 1 to 10, that any person is likely to forget to talk on any given day? Is that something that just happens? But talking is not the same as communicating, is it? Some people can talk, but never communicate. And there may be a lot of noise in many homes between husband and wife, but there's no communication. You forget. What else? What? Something altering your life if you just forget to do it. How many of you take medicine of one kind or another? If you get to take your medicine on the end of the day, is that likely to change your life? Yeah, for most. For some, not. Maybe you can get by with it. 2 days, maybe not. Now, I come to Acts 17:11. And here's one of those things daily that will definitely alter the way you live if you forget to do it every day. If one day you forget, it will alter that day's activity. In Acts 17, the 10th verse, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. That's one major point. They received the word with all readiness. Now, I want to just make a couple of comments, connect this to a passage like Isaiah 57:15. I think I'm in the right area. Is this word receive is a word that means to welcome, or at least expresses a willingness, or a readiness. This word receive conveys the idea of a predisposition to the word. So that it is said here in this 11th verse, they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, and when I make the connection to the subject of contrition or brokenness, I believe that when you bring in the notion of a willing heart, there first must be a brokenness in the heart of the person so receiving. There must be a spirit of willingness in the heart of the one receiving the word if anything is to be gained from the word, which translated is this: if there's a brokenness in the heart and one receives the word, they are likely to take what they hear personally, as it should be, as God speaking directly to you as individuals. And it may be just that in the sovereign providence of God, what is spoken to you or that you read on any occasion, God has so arranged the timing to address a particular concern or burden in your life right then, right there. Now, I'm sure that if you all look back over the course of your Christian life, you probably can identify those moments where you read something or you heard something from the Scripture and it touched upon a very tender spot in your heart. It was not planned. The person speaking could not possibly have known, but the Spirit of God, who directs the insertion of the Word of God, knows. Now, these are said, they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then says they searched the Scriptures daily. I want to say that if you fail to do that daily, your life will be significantly altered. Now, word searched comes in for a little bit of commentary. The word searched. When I think about the appearance of the word and the concept elsewhere in the Scripture, I'm drawn to those places in Luke's Gospel where there was a lost coin. A lost coin. What can you tell me about your recollection of the activity in the home where there was that lost coin? Can you give me a little bit of help there? What activity was going on in the home? She swept it. Okay, she searched for it, she swept it. Now, as concerning the quality of the search, what determines the quality of the search itself? Okay, the importance or the value of the object. So that coin that was lost must have been, in the sight of that person, very valuable. Saw yesterday on the news that somebody dropped two collector's coins in the Salvation Army drop box. They were still encased in their little plastic containers, gold coins dropped in there, both coins worth $1,100 apiece. I would take it that they were worth something. So if you were to lose something of that value in your house, then, of course, there is that story in Luke's gospel where the woman searched diligently for something she assessed to be of great value. There was not just, and listen, and this goes with the communication and the talk in your house. Remember we said there can be a lot of talking in the house, but very little communication. There can be a lot of sweeping going on in the house, but very little cleaning. If you follow what I'm saying, it's just moving dirt from one place to another. After the dust settles, well, it may have moved, but it's still there. Well, this word search has the idea of intense scrutiny, where it goes far beyond a 5-minute or a 10-minute devotional quickie on an everyday basis. Some people, more likely in my past experience, whenever you teach this subject to teenagers, they hear it, they receive it, and in order to say they did it because they anticipate being asked about it, they will devote a scant amount of time to the project so that if asked, did you have your daily devotion? Oh, yes, I did. But the word searched here implies something that cannot be done hastily, nor should it be. If you count the word of great value, the search that will be made for the truth and the riches and the treasures of God's word will necessity take time. Now, the first point of learning then that we want to write on your heart today is this. Jesus told us that we must live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. We must count this matter of searching the Scriptures on a daily basis at least as important, if not more important, than every other thing you've mentioned that you typically do on a daily basis. If you understand the value of the thing searched, and if you understand the great potential benefits that is there when you receive the word, it will not be something that you just allow a passing moment to engage in. Now, many people will wrestle with their schedules on the subject, and they will say, I just don't have time to give good time to the reading of Scripture. And my thoughts have been, having been on that train for a long time before, is this. If you're too busy for the Word, you're too busy. And God will never busy you busier than what He thinks you need to be busy doing on any course of a day. Okay? Now, so I would say that around those references, study the Word daily. So you have that Isaiah 34:16. You have Isaiah 35:8-9. You have Acts 17:10-11. Study daily. And add to that little section the little notes, if you can recall what we just said, about scrutinize, investigate, and the willingness of mind. Now, I think that God has written exactly in order what He means to say in this 11th verse. That if there is not first a willing mind, there will not be the searching. If the heart and the life is not broken, where you're willing to soak in what the Spirit of God may have for you on a providentially arranged time schedule, day by day. I mean, does it not say in the Scriptures that the steps of a good man are what? Okay, they're ordered by the Lord. That means today, tomorrow, and the next day. The things that are likely to come your way, do they happen by chance or are they there by providential design? Is it a random thing? Your life, is it just a random thing? No, you wouldn't say that. And so you must then plan into your day, no matter what it takes to do so, plan to study daily the Scriptures in the spirit in which we have put forth here. Now, the next place I want you to go to is in Luke's Gospel. same writer. Luke 24. Luke 24. And would you please look at verse 27? Luke 24 and verse number 27. This account of the Lord with the Emmaus Road disciples says there, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. Now there are two things to come out of verse 27. First of all, the Lord, in his teaching model, began at a certain point, included everything that was relevant to a topic that he chose. And the topic that he chose out of Moses and the prophets were the things concerning himself. It's not to say that on any occasion that the other things are insignificant. With the understanding that on any one reading or any initial sitting that you may have personally, or any message that you may listen to on an occasion, the one doing the speaking can't possibly cover everything there is to say. So you narrow the topic. Jesus chose the topic, and it was here said in things concerning himself. But he went from Moses and he used all the prophets. And then if you'll look, please, at the 45th verse, it says, Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures in their entirety. Now, may I just give you this to think about? Study daily, and then there is this need for systematic study. Systematic study. Let me share with you a project that I took on in the spring, and it took me until last month to finish. When I determined to study systematically, I wanted to go back into some the Old Testament scriptures, places where I wasn't really familiar with, and begin reading chronologically. And what I did was first determine the chronology of the prophets, the major prophets and the minor prophets. I determined to find out which prophets were used by God in the years that were called the pre-captivity years, as well as the prophets that God used to speak to the people of Israel in their captivity years. And so I began, once I determined that, I wanted to find out who were the prophets that were primarily used by God to speak to the northern tribes of Israel, who were the prophets that were normally used by God to speak to the southern tribes of Israel. And I find that the bulk of Revelation, and listen, this is really something, the bulk of God's revelation in the Old Testament to his people went to the tribes of the south. He did not ignore the northern tribes. He spoke to them. But the bulk of the information was to the southern tribes. And after determining that, I wanted to find out which one was the first guy in, according to the time, as near as possible can tell, that that God used the prophet. And so I began with Obadiah, went to Joel, Jonah, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, and Zechariah. In that order, I read them. In that order. Now, once upon a time, I read the Bible through in its entirety on a I'm trying to think of the word. What's that Bible I gave to you, Teresa? What was it called? The Chronological Bible. I read the Bible through chronologically one time, and I kept getting confused because the chronology, even though it may be arbitrary, was inserting, I guess it was too much of a shock for the mind, was inserting Psalms in this historical narrative and a prophet's words in this historical narrative. It seemed all disjointed to me. And so while I read it through like that and gained from it, I found it to be a very blessed exercise to start one prophet at a time, read them through, and read them through chronologically. Keep rehearsing why they were speaking in the first place and what God hoped to accomplish in the course of their ministry. Some of them had very, very brief ministries. Others, like Daniel, continued through his entire lifetime while the nation was in captivity. And so there's a lot of interesting things there. So when I talk about systematic Bible study, I'm talking about picking a book at the direction of the Spirit of God and reading it through in its entirety before you start taking notes, before you start drawing conclusions, and then go back and read it a second time, a third time, a fourth time, if necessary, all the while taking your notes. Keeping in mind where that fits in the overall system of biblical revelation. Outline the book if you can. Focus on key words in the book if you can. Keep diligent notes in it all. You may wish to study systematically, topically. Like now Jesus, when he said to these fellows on Emmaus Road, he began at Moses and the prophets, and he began to speak concerning the things about himself. That's a topical, systematic topical study where he would begin with the orderly progression of the revelation of God and bring it up to the current time and apply it all to himself. Now, what that did was start a fire in the heart of those two who willingly received the word. It started a fire. And I will give you this caution that random reading, in other words, you get up in the morning, you don't have any particular place to go in the Word, you just pick, you do like the old school Calvinist in his book has a Bible shut like this, and he said, "Well, Lord, I believe that you order the affairs of all men, and I don't know exactly where to read, and so wherever the book falls open, there's where I'm going to read my devotions today." That's random reading. Can you get anything out of that? Well, of course you can get anything out when you read the Word. You can. But generally speaking, random reading ensures a shallowness or a hollowness of spiritual living. Shallow. You'd be always on the thin ice. Never be able to connect this with this. So study the Bible systematically. Topically, book by book, what does the book say? Why did God preserve this book? Why was it written to the people of the day of the writer? And what application of that book it may be taken for my soul today? Now, there's some other places I want you to go. If you would please, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And would you look at the 11th verse? First Corinthians 10. The narrow interest in the word says this: "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, the 11th verse looks back in historical narrative. We understand that the things that happened to Israel just weren't for Israel's benefit alone. They happened at a point in time in history. God preserved them in His revelation, so that as you have that in your hand today, there is a point to reading and understanding what happened then for today. Okay? So, the point of the whole thing is, I need to know biblical history. I cannot afford to be ignorant of what the Bible says happened in Israel's history. Then there is a reference in Romans chapter 15, if you'll look there. Romans 15. Fourth verse says, very similarly, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So again, it's a look back to have a context for the time now present. And it has a great deal to do with your perspective on Bible study. Remember what Jesus said, "A man shall not live by bread alone," in Matthew 4, verse 4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of it." So the, circle the word like every word. That's all encompassing. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And I would have you circle the word all. All. The mass of Scripture. Study comprehensively. Include it all. Don't omit anything. Are there places in the Scripture that, if you take the task of reading from Genesis to Revelation and you go chapter by chapter, you're going to come across upon chapters that you sit there and you think, wow, what do I get out of this section of Scripture today? There doesn't seem on the surface to be any pertinent application to my life. And yet that's where the scrutinization of the Scriptures comes into play. Where if you have the time, or you take the time and you look beneath the surface of things, you will find out that God has a lesson in every place in the Scripture, an application of a certain truth for you and for me, every place you look. So I would encourage you to do at least this on a minimal basis. Minimally. January's coming up. Adopt this project. Read the Bible through in its entirety at least one time during the year 2009. How may you do that? Simply, this is minimal now. If you pick up 3 chapters or 3.5 chapters a day, you can accomplish the task in one calendar year. Daily reading. Now that's minimal. And I would say that, you know, if you're interested in a more concentrated saturation of the Scripture that will allow you to read it through in its entirety, but overlapping, so that you come to the end of the year and you will discover that you maybe have read the Old Testament through in its entirety in 1 year and the New Testament twice. You can add certain little features to your study technique, but study comprehensively. Study all the Scripture. And then would you please look at another place. In Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And the 11th verse. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Would somebody help me with this point here? Somebody look up Psalm 37, 31, if you would, please. Who would do that for me? Psalm 37, 31. Somebody look it up for me. And Luke 2, verse 19. And Luke 2, verse 51. Deuteronomy 6, 6. 37, 31. Luke 2, 19 and 51. And Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. Who has the Psalm 37, 31? I think I'm in the right place. Who has that? Just, yes, Bob, would you read it please for me? Okay. Psalm 37, 31. Mark that reference down. The law of God's in the heart. Because it's in the heart, the steps, while you're walking on that highway of holiness, will not slide left or right. It's in the heart. It's a heart, matter of the heart here. Next reference is Luke 2, Verse 19, what do you got? Who has it? 2:19. Okay, she pondered the things that she heard in her heart. Verse 51. 2:51, who has it? Deuteronomy 6:6. Okay, in the heart. The heart, the seat of the emotion. That brings into the whole prospect, eliminating entirely rote obligation to study the Scriptures, and raises it to the level of heartfelt, warm-hearted desire. Takes it all out of the obligation and brings it into the want to. I desire to. So we would say, study devotionally. I mean, it's not just mere academics. It's not just the mounting of massive information to further advance your intellectual exercises. Because your God has preserved His Word to move your heart. It is possible for people for years to be in a setting where their devotions enhance their intellectual academic perspective of Scripture, increases the knowledge of their theology and their grasp of things. The same thing can be said of people coming in and out of a church service for years and getting solid expository preaching on different veins and never, ever sense any moving of the Spirit in the heart of hearts. They come in the same, they leave the same. Unmoved, unchanged, unchallenged. Because all that has been engaged in is a heartless or a cold-hearted intellectual exercise. Study devotionally. What does God want to speak to my heart? Now, when I want to define what it means to have it in the heart, would you look again at Psalm 119? This little phrase sticks out of verse 98. Psalm 119 and the 98th verse. And by the way, while you're turning there, you might want to take down these two extra references in Joshua 1, 7 through 9, and Psalm 1, verse 2. And you will find that essential to devotional study is the meditation of the Word. Meditation. That's a hard exercise. But here we have in Psalm 119, verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. And here's the phrase. For they are ever with me. Remember we started out at the 11th verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy words are ever with me. Now that's the essence of devotional study that ingrains the Word in the heart. I hesitate to use the word memorization, but that's essentially what it amounts to. But there's this kind of memorization and there's that kind of memorization. There is the kind of memorization, I think Jenny mentioned it Sunday night, or I can't remember when she mentioned about the capacity to remember or memorize. Certain people, maybe all of us, have the capacity to memorize sufficient to pass an exam. You have the facts there, you memorize it, the test comes, you do well on the test. If somebody were to quiz you on the same test 3 months later, you would blow the test because it escaped. Now, many times youngsters are encouraged to memorize Scripture so that they can earn their way to camp. And so they memorize vast amounts of Scripture, they get their way paid to camp, and if you ask them those Scripture verses a year later, they got no clue. The memorization that we want to define that in verse 98 is the kind of memorization in which you find God's Word ever with you. In other words, it does not make an exit out the back door of your brain when you have no immediate or apparent use for it currently. It's there. It's ingrained in you. It comes as a result of devotional study. Last, would you look please in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel. Chapter 9. First three verses. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of this, of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then verse 3 says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession and said, O Lord, and on it goes. Study, if I can just suggest this, prayerfully. Before you even begin your reading on a daily basis, head ought to be bowed, heart surrendered, Lord, I'm about to read sacred scripture, and apart from your divine intervention, I'm not going to be able to understand what I read with any significance. Would you allow for me today a portion of the bread of life for my own soul's nourishment? You study prayerfully, basically recognizing your complete dependence, even in such a simple exercise as devotional reading of the Scripture. I would add to that the words that Jeremiah said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Add to that James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we will conclude there this morning. James chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, I get wisdom from the Word. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So that you see the larger context, please look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's why I say that the quality of your life will rise and fall at the beginning of the day in the Word. Whatever deeds you may set your heart to doing the course of the day, do you wish for God's blessing to be upon them? Do you want God's hand on your life? Then I say begin on your knees, and then with an open heart, Bibles open, begin to search the Scriptures. And therefore, study prayerfully, study devotionally, study comprehensively, study systematically, but study daily. Daily. Would you pray with me?